Today, my guest on Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century is Susan Ryan AO. Susan was Australia's first age discrimination commissioner. She was also a senator for the Australian Labor Party for the ACT, and she was Australia's first female member of a Labor cabinet. Thank you very much for joining us today, Susan. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure. I'm fine, thank you.
Susan, we are talking about what life is like for Australian people as they age. One of the things that older people in Australia experience is ageism and discrimination and stigmatisation. What are these things? What is ageism? And how are older people discriminated against and stigmatised?
Well, Australia is very ageist. And what that means is that as people get older, they notice that suddenly, instead of being taken seriously for whatever they are, whatever they've done, whatever they're doing, they're suddenly put in a little stereotype box called an older person. And when I was at the Australian Human Rights Commission, I had conducted our first national research project into ageism, and we found that it was very widespread. And it's very damaging to older people to be treated in an ageist way. The most obvious thing is that as people get into their 50s and a bit beyond, they will often lose their jobs because of ageism, or fail to get a promotion or a retraining opportunity that they will need to keep their careers going. And so it can have a profound financial impact on them. If you lose your job at, say, 58, it's very hard to get another one, regardless of what a good employer you've been and your qualifications. So that economic damage from ageism is extremely important. Then if we move along to older people, say in their 70s, they often find that they are not treated with respect or with dignity. If they, for example, if they have a complaint with a telecommunications company or something like that, they find that they're dismissed or spoken to as if they have got brain damage. So in retailing, older people often find that they're ignored. They go into a busy shop. They don't get the attention that they need to make the purchase they were intending to make. And often they don't make it because they're treated badly. When it comes to aged care, well, of course, we now have a Royal Commission into aged care, and that will focus particularly on some of the very bad things that happen in our nursing homes, but also people receive aged care in their own home, which is, in principle, an excellent thing. But again, it's not always delivered in a way that's respectful and helpful to the person. So they're just a few of the things.
Respectful, that seems to be the key word, isn't it?
Yeah, look, respectful is the key word. I think what people want at any age, really, but what they want as they age is respect. If they have a problem or a health issue, they would hope that they are treated respectfully while that problem is being attended to. And that is really, when you talk to older people who are having a bad time, that's often the most common complaint, way ahead of I'm poor, I can't afford my rent. They say, I go to talk about the problem and I'm not listened to, I'm not respected.
You did mention that as people age, if they lose their job, there are financial impacts.
Oh, yes.
But you're talking more about emotional impacts, aren't you?
That's right. A lot of older people now are single for one reason or another. If they're treated rudely, you know, by a service provider of some kind, or, you know, they can't get the bus to where they need to go to because they've got a bit of arthritis and the bus hasn't got the lower step attachment to it, they can become quite depressed and they can say, look, what's the use of doing anything? I'll just stay home, which is actually the worst thing you can do at any age, but particularly for older people, the most important thing for good emotional health is that they are out and about and connecting with other people.
That's one of the themes of the program, get connected, stay connected. I'm so pleased to hear you say it.
Well, that's right. And I think it is, you know, when we all think it through, it's pretty obvious, but people don't always think it through, that there's nothing worse than being isolated and alone, even if you live in quite a busy suburb or something, but you feel, look, I'd like to go up to the shops, or I saw that they were having something on up at the community centre there, but I just feel nervous about getting the bus, or I feel, you know, if it's crowded, people might shove me in, I'm using a walker, you know. And so that sense, look, I can't participate anymore, that leads to very serious health consequences.
Very serious. I think there's a lot of research, it's a bit more recent, about that, the health outcomes of people who are connected compared to those who are not.
Absolutely. And that research is very important, and I hope we see a lot more of it. And when we look, when our researchers look at groups of people who age well, and there are some countries that are kind of places that are renowned for it. For example, there's a Greek island, the name of it escapes me at the moment, where people live to over 100 and live well. Or places in Japan, I don't know whether it's Tokyo or Kyoto these days, but smaller communities, they live to a very old age, but they live well. And if you look at how they live a community life. On the Greek island, for example, they still, you know, grow their vegetables, they still meet with their friends every day, every day.
The famous Blue Zone project talks about five regions of the world where there is a very high incidence of people reaching their hundreds and living well, and it describes exactly what you're saying. It's a matter of diet,
yes,
but very
yes.
much it's a matter of connectedness and a sense of being valued. So how do older people get this from the community that they live in?
Well, I think in Australia, most people live in or around cities or suburbs. We have our regional centres, of course. I think we don't do very well in supporting older people at this stage of their life. We have a very good health system. We do have the age pension, which in itself is very important. I won't go into other things around economic support. We have some of the big things right, but we don't have this community connectedness thing right. For example, I live in a beachside suburb of Sydney, a very popular suburb. There are always lots of things going on. Rarely or ever is there any event down at the beach or in one of the parks that we use for these things. It rarely or ever is there an event that takes into account older people. And yet we could have them. We could have them once a week. There's so many older people living around here. We don't plan for it. Our local councils do a reasonable job, but they don't. I don't think they focus on it nearly enough. And we have a lot of issues in a busy suburb like the one I live in around safety and crossing the roads and getting on buses and so on. None of the way things are set up seems to take account of the fact that, look, you can't always scurry across the road in the few seconds that you get if you get a green light on a busy highway. Or, as I said, if you are getting the bus, and we do have a good bus service, the buses need to have that lower stair because not everyone can hike up what seems to me to be about, you know, a 2 foot step to get on, or they take a bit longer to get on and off. Now, I have to say, the bus drivers, in my experience, are very good and very helpful, but often the vehicle is badly designed, there's a rush, the buses are lining up, so, you know, the driver's under pressure to take off. Now, it sounds like a pretty practical thing to fix up, but if you don't feel you can go down and get on the bus and go up to a shopping centre or see your doctor or see your friends, then that's when you start to get isolation. And I think Australia, generally speaking, does not do this sort of connectedness support well at all.
So we've got the institutional framework pretty good, but it's the implementation perhaps at the local level.
It is very much at the local level, and I think it does come down to us as a community and our community values. I would like to see more recognition of the value of older people, the respect for older people, and just more thought of an organiser's putting on an event saying, well, we hope some of the older people turn up to this concert down in the park or something. So if they do, we'll need to have a few chairs, because older people, I'm in this category, I can't stand for 2 hours, you know, at an event now. Well, I can in great discomfort. But, you know, just having a, you know, hire a few chairs, make sure there are chairs for people. Just little things like that, where they make sure there's shaded areas. Again, everyone wants shade in the hot weather, but for older people, it can be quite, you know, physically distressing if they're standing in the heat, if there's nowhere to sit down, if there's no shaded area. Just those sorts of things would make it much easier for our older people to connect with the community.
Okay, and that's probably at the level of the people who plan those events. We know that in March there is going to be the Older Persons Week that celebrate. No doubt, yes. You're quite well aware.
I have
of
been
that.
Involved in those from time to time.
And let's hope that they remember to stick out the chairs and the shade and stuff like that. At local government level, there does seem to be some progress. Councillors do seem to be waking up, but it's slow, isn't it?
It is slow, and I know some councils have made a very big effort, and congratulations to them, but I do know others pay a bit of lip service and don't do much. So it shouldn't just be a lucky dip where they're sitting living in a council where they are aware and they do support connectedness and older people, or you're living in one where, look, it's, you know, fend for yourself and try not to get run over by a bus.
Yes. Well, and perhaps Older Persons Week should be held every week.
Well, I think so. I think the value of these weeks, we're talking about Older Persons Week, is that they can raise awareness. And once you've raised awareness, often that can stay with you. So if you get a few things going and there's good media coverage, and people start talking about it, then that positive effect, can stay after the Older Persons Week, and I hope that's what happens.
Well, we shall see. We'll definitely try and draw something out of that. Okay, so there are the institutional changes, there are the local changes, but what can we as older people do ourselves?
Well, I do, as in every other thing in life, I do think we each have a responsibility ourselves to treat other people well, but also to take steps to make sure that we're in a good frame of mind. So I think older people know, and, you know, I'm sure their GPs are always telling them, I mean, older people, we need to look after our own health. We need to take some exercise every day. We need to eat healthily. We need to make an effort to do things, you know, something, oh, I'd like to go to that, but I can't be bothered. Well, go, you know. I think, you know, we have agency. We should remind ourselves of the many positive aspects of being an older person, and there are plenty of those.
Tell me more.
Well, I think as you get older, certainly there's a bit of a physical deterioration. We made jokes about it amongst my age peer friends. But on the other hand, I think you've lived a long life, you've had your ups and downs, you become very aware and intelligent about society and people. I think in your older years you are a much better judge of character. You can be more patient. When things go wrong, you think, well, they're going wrong now, but they won't stay wrong forever. You know, I have a political background, and in my party, the Labor Party, there have been fabulous times, there have been terrible times. And when we seem to be going through a terrible time, I like to say, look, you know, this situation won't last. Yes, this government's just been defeated. It won't stay in opposition forever. So you get that sense as an older person. Look, things can go badly, but then they can be rebuilt. And speaking personally, I think that's a terrific understanding to have.
You're talking about wisdom.
Yes, I suppose I am.
So we are, as we age, we are an asset to the community.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've spoken about the challenges facing older people in our society, but on the other hand, it's also true to say that many older people are making a fantastic contribution to their communities through volunteering, through supporting, you know, local kids' clubs, visiting hospitals, as visitors, I would say, not as patients.
Pink ladies.
All those sorts of things. They're absolutely wonderful. And also within families. I mean, we have the situation in Australia these days that most families with children have both parents working. Well, they want to. If they're lucky, they do. Which means that there's much more call for grandparents or other older members of the family to step in. And I think many families would be lost without their older family member, either on a regular basis, and some grandparents now are doing virtually full-time childcare or after-school care, or step in when there's an emergency with an illness or something like that.
Doesn't that sometimes put an extra burden on an older person who is looking forward to being free of those kinds of...
Well, look, it certainly does, but you hear different opinions about that from the older people themselves. Some of them say, I love it. I would look after my grandchildren every day. I'm not required to, but I would. I love it. I love being with them. I love making the contribution. On the other hand, you do hear some older people saying, oh, I've reared a big family myself and I'm pretty tired, and when I have to, you know, when I get kind of endless requests to help, I sometimes feel it's a bit too much. Now, you get both, but I would say it probably comes down to your own physical and mental health. If you're feeling pretty good, you really like to make this contribution. Many of us do, and it would just be good to have a bit more recognition of it.
You did mention that it is somewhat a function of your mental health. And if you're isolated already, you're more prone to be depressed. And if you're more likely to be depressed, then making the effort for connections becomes impaired. How do we overcome that
problem? Well, I think we need to take some positive steps. While I would like to think that older people have agency and can decide themselves to do something, I know that if they've got into a bit of a depression spiral, that that's not going to happen. So I think as a community, we need to take positive steps. And I do think, as I said, special measures, local councils, local community organisations should, you know, have a grandparents' day, you know, an older person's day. Not every older person is a grandparent, but every older person is valuable. So I think they should make special efforts to recognise. They should never assume that the only people who are going to come to their club or attend their functions are the under 30s. So just be very conscious of and invite older people. Invite them in ways that older people are used to. For example, shopping centres. Now, there's a small shopping village near in my suburb. Now, there is a community notice board there about this is happening, or that, you know, there'll be something down at the beach, or there'll be this or that. But I think it's a bit scrappy, and I think a lot more effort could be made to say, look, what's on in this suburb this week that's free, that's easy to get to? People of all ages, welcome.
So the solutions are sometimes community-based.
Oh, I do believe so. I mean, I could go on forever about government policies and housing assistance and more aged care packages, all of those things. That's on one level. But I think how a person feels in themselves has a lot to do with how they're getting on in their own community. If you walk down the street and no one looks at you, no one smiles. I mean, I've got a policy myself when I walk down the beach most days. I just smile and say good morning to people. Now, some people might think that's, you know, uncalled for. But you'd be surprised how many people smile back. And you just say it's a nice day, or goodness, you know, it looks like we're going to get some rain. Just those normal interactions, which if you're an old person living alone, you really miss. And so I think if the whole community is aware, or if an older person's going up the stairs and having a bit of trouble, say, do you need any assistance? Or at the very least, don't stand beside and say, hurry up, hurry up. You know, just the things like that, on and off buses, in shops. If an older person's wheeling their trolley around and maybe it's a bit slower than the very busy 32-year-old mum of two, she should think, well, look, that could be my mother. You know, I don't have to hurry up, hurry up. Just things like that. I mean, what I'm talking about is normal human kindness, but if it doesn't, it doesn't take a big effort, but if you don't have it, the older person who is feeling a bit depressed can get more depressed. So I've said it's on community organisations, businesses, events organisers to do things. Make clear that older people are invited, welcome and catered for. But it's also on all of us.
Recently, there's been a lot in the news, a lot of research indicating that we're having a bit of an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And in the United Kingdom, they have a ministry for loneliness. I hear a bit of talk about introducing that into the Australian Parliament. What do you think about
The great thing when I heard about the UK appointing a Minister for Loneliness, I thought, well, that's terrific. I don't know what that minister will actually do, what sort of programs he or she will have, how many resources. That's another question. But even naming a person with that portfolio responsibility raises awareness. People say, oh, what's that for? We don't need it. Do we need it? Perhaps we do need it. So I think here we could follow that path. Or we could do what I constantly exhort our political leaders to do on both sides whenever I see them and say, when you're talking, make sure you're addressing older Australians as well as families. There's an absolute focus on families, particularly families with kids. We can all understand why. On the other hand, when I get and hear a politician say, we're going to do this for families and children, we're going to do that for families and children, I say, well, look, yeah, and say, and older Australians too.
Well, we are a growing part of the population.
Indeed. Every day, you know, I can't tell you how a very large number of people turn 65 every day. And that number, whatever it is getting bigger every day. And thanks to our great medical services and advances and so forth, many of the people who turn 65 today will live to be 100. Now, we haven't all cottoned onto that. People still think 65, oh, well, it's downhill. It's not. You might have another 25, 30 years even to live. And so you have to think, well, how am I going to live this? What do I want to do for the next 30 years? And society, government, service providers all have to think too, well, this person's only 66. Perhaps I will advise them to look for, to go into a training course so that they can perhaps get a part-time job or they can work as a volunteer.
There's probably something about the cohort that are ageing now that's a bit different from the ones in the past. We grew up in the times of political action and change, what was called women's lib, changing the institutions. We have a bit of a habit of shaking the tree, don't we?
Well, that's right. And I hope that that habit, you know, manifests itself in old age. I mean, I don't like generational wars, you know. I don't like those public conversations that go, oh, well, older people had everything and now we can't get our houses and we've got a huge debts if we go to university. I don't think they're very helpful. I think it's best to say, look, the baby boomers, the post-Second World generation, did have many things that worked out for them, but they made some of those things happen. I mean, I was a feminist in the early 70s. I am a feminist. But we started things that we said, well, look, if we don't do it, it won't happen. So we had a very clear sense that the laws had to change to prevent discrimination against women, to provide childcare, to provide women's refuges, to provide reproductive health and choices. If we didn't do it, no one else is going to do it. And that's still my view. And I would like to see more activism amongst the baby boomers as they leave their paid work.
So we can become activists about ageing, own ageing.
I think that's absolutely essential. There are some, you know, there's the seniors organisations and so on, and they're good, but they're not like mass movements. I would like to see a lot more organised action around things that we can do to make life fairer and better for people as they age.
Resistance with a walking stick.
Well, absolutely. A walker, a walking stick, you know, if it helps you, grab it.
wonderful. What are the key messages, Susan, you would like to send to older Australians about ageism, discrimination and stigma as they age?
Well, my message to older people who are experiencing ageism is don't accept it. Don't accept that, well, that's the way society sees me, so I'll just have to go along with it. Say, no, that perception's wrong. I am active. I do want to contribute. I do deserve proper and respectful treatment when I'm purchasing something or getting a service, and stand up for yourself.
One more question. Do you think ageing can be fun?
Oh, it certainly can be, because you've got so many memories that are good memories, and you've got so many insights into how things are. I think you can have a lot of fun going down memory lane and remembering some of the mad and fun things you used to do, but also the freedom of saying, look, let's just go and do this thing, or go and see a silly movie, or go to a concert that we would never have gone to when we were younger, but that we've always wanted to hear. There's some, you know,
heavy metal,
if that's what, yeah. And just, look, we know that everyone else there will be young enough to be our grandchildren, but let's just go. And get a group of buddies and off you go. It can be huge fun. You're not self-conscious.
Yesterday I was speaking to Bettina Arndt.
Oh, yes.
And she said one of the things that we benefit from as we age is that we don't sweat the small stuff anymore. We're not so concerned about how we appear.
That's right. That's right. I mean, really, you know, when you're a teenager or even a young adult, other people's opinions of you can oppress you. Oh, I've got to do this because people expect it. I've got to look this way because people expect it. You know, when you're in your 70s and 80s, you're beyond that. So you just say, look, I want to wear this, or I want to go to this heavy metal concert. And as I said, I don't care if I'm the only 80-year-old there. I'm going to have fun.
That's wonderful. I want to thank you very much, Susan Ryan, for speaking to me today on Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century.
Thank you.